This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team. It's Bish, Cakes, and JP. Been talking to some Commanders this morning and the level of concern regarding Carson Wentz's play. To give us a little more insight, a guy who covers the Commanders there every day, Michael Phillips from the Richmond Times-Dispatch joins us on the BetQL Guest Hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Unlike Carson Wentz, accurate commentary coming your way right here.
Uh-oh, here it is.
Right off the bat.
All right, so what is your point of view in terms of level of concern? It is just training camp. You know, we always say that too when guys shine in the preseason. It's preseason, doesn't mean anything. But when it's kind of 2 weeks of this, people are starting to get a little worried. How do you see it?
Yeah, and, you know, I think part of this is the number of enemies he's made along the way in Philly and Indianapolis. You think about, I mean, the Philly media right now, I don't think is covering the Eagles. I think they've gone to 24-7. Holy cow, Carson Wentz is bad in D.C. And, you know, that's part of it is he's got that reputation. People are looking for it. And there's the kernel of truth there. And the kernel of truth is, he's been very inaccurate in a number of drills where you wouldn't expect an experienced quarterback to be very inaccurate. But it does sound like this is a routine event, that he did this in Philly, he did this in Indy, and certainly his regular season stats speak for themselves. He's been just fine in regular seasons, and you know, you just count on, hey, he's been in the league 7 years, he's going to put this together at the right time. But I can see why people are alarmed, because we haven't seen this show before.
Do you think part of it is just that he hasn't really had time to build rapport with some of the most important parts of his receiving corps, namely Terry McLaurin, who was waiting to get his deal done? Is that the bigger part of it, or is it just, like you touched on, the fact that he does this in each training camp, and then he just proceeds to get better as training camp goes along and getting closer to the regular season?
Yeah, and the good news is here, there's still a lot of time left before the first game. You think about, it's a 3 preseason game schedule now, so they got extra time baked into the whole thing. And Terry McLaurin shrugged it off the other day. He said, I'm going to put in the work I need to put in to get to where I need to be. And obviously, he's a consummate pro, so he's going to figure out whatever he needs to figure out. I think they have plenty of time to get it fixed, but you're absolutely right. He missed, you know, Terry was not there for the whole offseason program. They did their thing in California for a few days, but that's not a replacement for everyday work for a series of months. So I do think they've got some stuff to figure out, and I think they will figure it out. I think if nothing else, Terry will figure it out because he's a pro. But the other thing is, I think this offense is going to be built around taking a lot of deep shots, a lot of long balls this year. And so that's a tough one to practice, because you don't want to, you know, blow out guys' hamstrings or anything, having them go full speed every day in practice, you know, flinging 40, 50-yard bombs. So we've seen them do it occasionally in practice, but I think that's something where, you know, they're going to really need to develop that feel and touch once we turn the corner to actual game week preparation.
Michael, I'm wondering, if you were talking to a Commanders fan who hasn't seen any training camp, hasn't seen any video, and they said, get me excited about Carson Wentz, tell me what looks great, what's going to be different from Taylor Heinicke? I mean, obviously you're mentioning the deep ball. What else could you say about him?
Carson Wentz just looks great. I mean, he is standing next to Taylor Heinicke. It's like a big brother, little brother kind of thing. You know, the ball leaves his hand. That's how an NFL quarterback throws a football. It's a marked difference between the ball that comes out of Taylor Heinicke's hand and the ball that comes out of Carson Wentz's hand. He was born to do this. And, you know, inaccuracies aside, he can fling the ball downfield in a split second. His decision-making appears to be very quick, which could be a good thing if these offensive line, injuries continue to linger. He was, especially at the scrimmage portion the other night at FedEx, looking one way, looking the other way, decision, throw. And when the ball leaves his hand, it is in the receiver's hand a split second later. So all those kind of fundamental NFL quarterback things, he's got them all.
Michael, we know that Carson leaned a lot on tight end during his tenure in Philly, guys like Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. So far here with the Commanders, he's had no Logan Thomas to rely on. We know that he was building something to Cole Turner, but now he's dinged up with a hammy. How much of that, the fact that the tight ends haven't had a huge role in training camp so far, maybe that plays into his struggles a bit?
Yeah, and you talk about the chemistry, obviously. I think a guy like Logan Thomas is going to be able to jump right in when it's time to jump right in. Thomas has the quarterback experience. You know, Carson has experience throwing to tight ends. I think they'll be good to go once they get good to go. The Cole Kelly injury is concerning just because, I mean, they had something going there through the first week and a half. Cole Kelly, 6'6", he got in the back of the end zone. He gave Carson that big target, and Carson was taking advantage of it. You could tell there was something there. You know, if Logan Thomas turns out to be, out for the first 4 to 6 games, Cole Kelly's going to be your guy to circle on fantasy football waiver wire. Like, he's going to catch a touchdown or two along the way if he plays. Then you got Curtis Hodges, who's even taller, 6'8". Now, I'm not sure he's ready to go. I'm not sure he's ready for prime time. Same as Samus Reyes, though, another guy who's probably, still maybe a year away from being there. But these injuries are forcing those guys into first-team reps, and they've got a real golden opportunity these next couple weeks to show a thing or two.
Talking to Michael Phillips, covers the Commanders for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. So one of the bigger storylines for this team is Chase Young. And when is he going to come back? What are your sources telling you? What could fans expect from Chase Young? Are we talking 4 games? Are we talking middle of the season? What do you expect?
Yeah, so the big option here is on cut day, where Ron Rivera's got to decide if he's going to put him on the 53-man roster or leave him off and leave him on that PUP list. Now, if he goes on the 53-man roster, he can, of course, play whenever he wants. They can leave him inactive. He could be ready, as soon as week 2. I think it's more likely at this point that he goes on that PUP list, which means he has to miss the first 4 games. And that's tough because you got a couple divisional games in there, Eagles, Cowboys right out of the gate. It's probably, though, not going to be like a catastrophic, anything like that. We're seeing him out there. We're seeing him work out. I think he's making progress every day, but we haven't seen him kind of get closer to those football drills, get in the trenches and run drills. So I, at this point, with what I'm seeing, I think it's hard to think it's anything less than 4 games.
Michael, how much do you think Chase has been humbled by the injury? I remember a couple of off seasons ago, it might have been after his rookie campaign, where he had some very off-putting comments where people were asking him about his commercials he was filming, if it was taken away from his being at OTAs, and comments about, well, I got to go make the money. And it was a little off-putting, but I know that this offseason, with him coming back from the injury, I've seen him doing a lot of like autograph signing. I think he was on the field like an hour plus after the practice at FedEx Field on Saturday night. Has this injury kind of brought him down a peg or two as far as like the way he interacts with people and his approach to the game?
Yeah, and he did a full circle around the FedEx Field, did 100 yards each way of signing for fans, and then finally they had to take him out of there. So the ushers are trying to lock the place up. Let's get everybody out of here. So certainly a really cool gesture by Chase Young after that practice. Didn't get a chance to see him on the field, but fans got a chance to interact with him afterward, which is always very cool. I don't know that he's been humbled from a football sense. I think if you asked him, he'd still say he's a superstar, he's ready to shine. And that mentality is part of what makes those guys great. But even though, this offseason, Ron told me at the Super Bowl, he said, I think Chase was trying to be somebody he wasn't last year. And I ran that by Chase, and Chase kind of, he wasn't fully on board that. I'm going to be fine. Don't worry about me. That was an aberration. So I think we're still waiting to see, what he's learned on the field in terms of what it takes to succeed as an NFL player over multiple years where guys catch up to you, guys have the tape. But what's interesting about this injury is it's fully rebooted the expectations. This would normally be the contract negotiation year after year three here, where you'd come in and you start talking about a long-term deal. I just don't see any way that happens unless he's truly, just a monstrous season coming back on that short season. I think it's far more likely this becomes, a growing season for him and a developmental season for him. And this is going to come across the wrong way, but the bar for Chase Young is when he comes back on the field, he can't make the defense worse. He has to make the defense better. And, that was part of it last year was when he got hurt, the defense got better the next week. The defense started dominating those next few weeks, and no defense is better without Chase Young on the field, obviously, but we all noticed that. We all noticed, what's going on here? How is this unit playing better, more cohesive football without its best player? To me, that's what this season's about for him. He's got to show he can play inside that framework, improve the team, and then from there, I think you look at a monster year potentially coming the next year for him, when he gets back to full strength.
When he's out, is it Tuhill that's going to be starting or Smith-Williams?
Yeah, it'll be probably one of those two. I would guess Smith-Williams probably gets to run out of the tunnel as the starter. I'd be surprised if either of them play more than, 50, 60% of the snaps. They're going to rotate those guys pretty regularly until they see somebody they like. We're all waiting for Shaka Toney to flash. Everybody loved that late-round pick. You always want the late-round gem. Undiscovered guy, didn't play a lot of snaps in college, kind of moved around positions, but freakish raw strength, not on the Chase level, of course, but watching him in practice, he's clearly got a little extra something that the other guys don't have, hasn't quite put it together yet. He was hurt, missed the practice the other night. But James Smith-Williams is probably the most complete package at the moment, just in terms of a mix of the smarts, the strength, the size, all that. I would guess we'll see a lot of five defensive linemen early on, particularly in obvious run situations. I think they're going to try to get Fedarian Mathis, Jonathan Allen, and Deron Payne all on the field at the same time, which may negate some of that off the edge, disadvantage you lose with Smith Williams or Tuhill. I will say Deron Payne is having a monster camp. He's just picking up dudes and mauling them. Hmm. I think Jonathan Allen's laying a little low, but the other day, who's a new offensive lineman? Norwell. So they do their first one-on-one snaps, and Jonathan Allen just bulldozers Norwell. Welcome to the team, buddy. I'm Jonathan Allen. Here's how it's going to be. So those guys have been fun to watch.
He crushed him. Getting back to Carson, Michael, we talked about this early part of the show. And, this is what the media does. This is what the fans do early in camp. They kind of overreact to a player, especially a quarterback, because they're the central figure. But how bad they are, how good they look. And this is what I said. Carson Wentz historically has been a guy who throws in the low 60s in terms of his completion percentage. His career is about 62%. He did have one outlier year where he was near 70, but most of those seasons are 62, 63, 64. I think that's what you're going to get with him. I think it's going to be a hit or miss type of a player week to week. But again, I don't know how that translates. Because he could have a year like he had last year with 27 touchdowns and 7-8 picks, but still throw, 61, 62% completion out there. And I'm not sure that gets you to the playoffs. Do you think he's got to show a significant improvement just in that statistic alone?
I think you bring up two great points here. One is the completion percentage, and the other one is the touchdown to interception ratio. When he's been missing high, and he's been missing, I guess what you'd say, uncatchable territory, not the kinds of misses that would lead to interceptions. So, yes, you're getting what you get with him. He's not going to be a 70% completion guy, but you also get what you get with him. I don't think he's going to be a guy who turns the ball over a lot. I think when he misses, he's going to miss with incompletions. He's not going to miss with interceptions, and that gives you another chance to get out there and do it. I've always thought all along, the best thing Carson Wentz has going for him, one, the incredibly low standards we have for quarterbacks, having seen the parade of guys we've had coming through here the last 5 years. You think about what he had in Indy, he was following Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Phillip Rivers, you know, like that's a fan base that knows what a quarterback looks like. I'm not sure we know anymore after what we've seen the last few years. I also think he's got so many good pieces around him. I'm excited about the running game, Antonio Gibson, Brian Robinson. I think they're going to be good. I think the defense, you know, I don't know if they're going to be good, but I know they can't be bad. Like, this town's going to have a full-on meltdown if a defense full of first-round picks and big-name free agent signings doesn't play well this year. I think they have to play well. You add those two things together, Carson Wentz doesn't have to take this team on his back. He doesn't have to lead dramatic two-minute drives. If he's average, if he's the 16th best quarterback in football this year, I think this team's going to make the playoffs. I think that's all they need of him is to kind of float in that middle range.
We're joined by Michael Phillips, covers the Commanders for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Give him a follow on Twitter, at MichaelPRTD. So my kryptonite, well, one of my many kryptonites, is overestimating Washington wideout catches for a season. Tell me why Jahan Dotson isn't going to catch 50-plus balls as a rookie. I think that's his floor, but maybe I'm crazy.
I'll give you the reason he's not going to, but I'm not going to disagree that we're all crazy excited watching him play every day. The kid was a great pick, but in practice, he is not getting jammed at the line of scrimmage. I got to think, if I'm a defensive coordinator, week one, game one, first month of the season, whoever I'm putting on that kid is shoving him at the line of scrimmage every single play, disrupting the timing, disrupting the route, trying to get in his head a little bit, because that's what he hasn't seen yet, you know, really in his entire career. So how will he react to that? I don't know. I'm sure he is putting in the work to be ready for it. I don't think I'm giving out any state secrets here that, you know, that what you want to do to a guy is what he hasn't seen before. So I'm sure he'll be ready for that. But he's been a lot of fun to watch. He's got soft hands. He can catch almost anything. He's running clean routes. And I think the other thing you would be bullish on a catch total for him is this tight end situation. Like, I think Logan Thomas will take a lot of catches out of the room, so to speak, when he's healthy and out there playing. But if Logan Thomas goes to that pup list, I don't know if he will or not. You know, he's making progress. We'll find out soon enough. If he goes to that pup list, so that's four games without Logan Thomas, that's a lot of catches coming back into the wide receiver room, you know, which would help those guys in their numbers.
Well, you didn't say that Curtis Samuel was going to eat up all his catches.
All the side field catches. He's going to take them all.
Yeah.
No side field catches left.
All right, Michael, good stuff. Appreciate the insight. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, guys.
Yep.
All right, Mike.
Michael Phillips from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Yeah, did Curtis Samuel play on Saturday?
He was there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He was active.
Still healthy. Still practicing.
He'll probably get a day off today during today's practice.
If it's part of the plan.
He was in the mix on Saturday night.
Coming up next, let's get back into it. Are you worried about these reports from Carson Wentz? You just heard Michael Phillips talk about his inconsistency issues. He does have that history of a low completion percentage, but he's missing passes in drills. He's missing practices in 7-on-7 and 11-on-11. It's actually pretty consistent that each day out of training camp, you're hearing about Carson Wentz's struggles. Is this worrying you? Are you freaking out? 800-636-1067. Your call's next here on the Junkies.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Yes, our Junkies Poker Open, it is coming back Friday, September 9th, MGM National Harbor. It's been a couple years. Mark it down on your calendar, JPO 2022, back at MGM National Harbor, September 9th. That is a Friday, and it's all brought to you by our friends at Potomac Metals. You've tried the rest. Now scrap with the best. Live long and scrap on. All right, we wanted to get back into Carson Wentz. It's been basically 2 weeks of training camp, and the reports about Wentz have been pretty similar day after day after day. He has not been awe-inspiring. He has had a couple of great deep throws that people are impressed by his arm. You just heard Michael Phillips talk about.
On the poopy!
You heard Michael Phillips say that he looks impressive. He's big. Mm-hmm. He looks the part, like he was born to do it. But the reports consistently are that he's a little bit wild, overthrowing the balls, throwing balls in the ground. And does this worry you? 800-636-1067. You can call us on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. We put that up as the Junkies poll of the day. 63% say they are troubled and worried by what we're hearing about Carson Wentz.
But I think if you're a comms fan, you hear what Michael Phillips said in the last segment, that this is kind of Carson's MO in every camp he's been in, whether it was with the Eagles, with the Colts, or now with the Commanders, that he's not the quickest starter. Maybe just takes him some time to get his feet under him and gain a relationship now with some new players, guys that he's not really that intimately familiar with.
Right.
So maybe by the second preseason game, things are humming along more smoothly. That's what you have to hope is the case.
Yeah, I mean,
Carson Wentz.
I'll defend him that way because it's only been a couple weeks. There's been a bunch of other quarterbacks around the league. If you're paying attention, a lot of them have looked poop on the poopies. So not everyone is just firing on all cylinders in the first couple weeks of camp. This is what the media does. There's nothing else to talk about. All right, so you're going to.
But they're not making it up.
I'm not saying they're making it up.
It's not like there's one reporter who says.
I'm not saying they're making it up.
That Wentz is looking good, and another reporter says Wentz is looking awful.
Right, I know.
Every one of these beat reporters is saying that Wentz hasn't looked good.
And I'm sure he hasn't looked good. And that's what I'm saying. That's what the media will focus on. That's what the fans will focus on. But if he's looking like this in week one or week two, or even leading up to week one, I would be more concerned. I think slowly but surely he'll get better. But again, we've said it all morning. He's not a guy who's just going to wow you and complete 80% of his passes. That's just not him.
It's not how he's built.
And he's in a new system, new receivers. He didn't get a ton of time to work out with these guys in the offseason. But you would assume he's going to get better as camp rolls on. And if he's looking like this in the regular season, that's one thing. But right now, I wouldn't be overly concerned.
Here's where I'll give him benefit of the doubt. Terry McLaurin was holding out for his new deal. Didn't get to bring him out to California in that little mini passing camp that he hosted out there. Logan Thomas has been sidelined. He's throwing to a rookie in Jahan Dotson. There are high expectations for him, but again, he's a rookie still trying to find his way. The rest of the wide receiver core, kind of nondescript, and Curtis Samuel is sitting out every other practice.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for reasons why he might be struggling, those are some of the reasons.
Now, also, De'Ami Brown's missed most of the second week because of his leg injury.
Deami Brown's been banged up.
All right, so he's not there.
Cole Turner has a hamstring now.
Cole Turner, Logan Thomas, a bunch of guys that you would assume play in the regular season aren't playing.
Now, if I'm Carson Wentz, I'm going to lean a lot, and I'm going to talk to Scott Turner about this. Hey, look, all these other guys are banged up. They're not available. I need to throw the ball to J.D. McKissic. Work up a lot of plays for J.D. McKissic. That guy's an expert at catching the ball out of the backfield. And if the offensive line isn't holding up, he's a perfect guy to be able to lean on. And you've seen the numbers on him over the past few seasons. So I'd be leaning more on McKissic. I'd be leaning more on Gibson. His whole skill set coming out of college was he's a jack-of-all-trades type, played wide out in college, mm-hmm. lean on that skill set a little bit more. I think Commanders fans have been waiting for that to happen. And maybe with some of the injuries, see that happen.
So the question to you, Manders fans, are you concerned about all the reports that Carson's been poop on the poopies the last couple weeks? 800-636-1067. I wouldn't be, I'm not a Mander fan, but I wouldn't be as concerned as I would be if he was looking like this in games.
Of course. Right.
Or certainly up leading up to week
now,
one.
If he plays in the preseason game, say he plays in two series against the Panthers when they come to FedEx next Saturday night, I believe, is the date of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sailing the ball 8 yards over guys' heads on the sideline, or he's delivering balls 3 yards in front of the guy in the dirt, like near his shoes, then I'm going to be concerned. If you see it in real-time game situations, I'm less concerned with it at a wacky practice out at FedEx. If you see that in a game and it's consistent that he's missing the targets, he's inaccurate, I'm going to be concerned after the first preseason game. I'm not so much concerned right now.
I wouldn't even be that concerned after the first preseason game. If he's playing two series, all right, look, if he's dropping back and he's tripping him over himself or he's throwing a couple picks, that's one thing. But I expect him to look just average, maybe even below average, in the first preseason game. I would expect that.
You expect it.
Especially if
they're
guys
bumpy.
He's probably not going to have his entire offensive line.
Right.
He might not have Samuel. He's not going to have Logan. You know, who knows who's going to play?
So he's throwing to Mark and Michelle.
I wouldn't expect him to look great.
Well, apparently he's been impressive.
Okay, that's fine. You can impress.
I mean, the tight end room right now is four guys that have no shot at making the team.
Right.
Our Commanders training camp coverage brought to you by Paul Henry's Windows. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. So you can vote at Junks Radio. But some people have tweeted us, and there are some that say it's training camp, don't overreact. But then I think this one from at Justin Myzone, this is kind of what I believe is going to happen throughout the season. He says, listen, Wentz is going to Wentz. When it's good, it's amazing, top 10 type throws.
Right.
When it's bad, it's rough.
Correct.
I think it's mostly going to be a roller coaster ride with Carson Wentz based on what I saw last year. And I think Ron Rivera and the organization decided they were going to roll the dice on Wentz, really because they were desperate because the quarterbacks were going off the board. They tried to take some big swings. Russell Wilson wasn't coming here. You know, they went kind of down the list, right? And then it was like, well, we got to get somebody. Let's get Wentz. So they get Wentz, and they think that they can right the ship with Wentz. The last two teams
That's
have given
hope.
Up on it.
That's their hope.
I tend to side with probably the two teams. It's two versus one. Two teams said, he's broken, not worth salvaging. The Commanders believe they can fix him and make him better.
Despite him being an upgrade over Taylor Heineke, the Commanders still don't have quarterback certainty.
By the way,
they just don't.
I agree with that one caller. A potential upgrade over Taylor Heineke. Let's see what the numbers are this year.
If he's not an upgrade over Taylor Heineke, then that spells disaster for Ron Rivera in the front office.
What was Heineke last year? 20 and 12-ish?
I think like 20 and 13.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Mo in Largo, see what he thinks about this deal.
Hello, Mo. You're on with the Junks on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Good morning, Mo.
Not too worried. I mean, it's still early in the process. He's still getting acclimated with a lot of his personnel. Guys aren't consistently on the field working out with him as well. It just takes time. I mean, it's a tough sport. I mean, he plays a very tough position, you know, and continuity is very important, and it takes time to establish that relationship. So am I worried? No. I think the running game will allow us to progress in the meanwhile, until we can get our passing attack together. So, no, I'm not worried. I mean, I hope they'll get it together, but it's too early to be worried. Thanks, gentlemen.
It's crazy. Somebody just tweeted us. And he said that he was at the stadium.
Okay.
He said, overboard the media reports on Wentz. I was at the stadium from New Jersey. No skip passes. Now, I witnessed one that Nicky Javala.
Maybe he obviously didn't see every pass.
He said, maybe three overthrows. Bigger thing, and this I've not heard, is Dotson dropped three. He, Wentz, was not missing receivers. That's one guy's eyes.
I think the biggest takeaway there is that dude drove from Jersey
right,
to go to FedEx Field to watch a Skins practice. That's some dedication right
Jason
there.
Jason wouldn't go if he lived in Landover.
No, it's impossible.
No, not when it's 98 degrees.
He would go paid appearance. Appearance, you would go.
Paid.
That's a lock.
But I mean, let's see how he looks today. Let's see how he looks this week.
Right.
Saturday's obviously the first preseason game is against Carolina. He's going to play. Let's see how he looks in the first couple series. We might be talking totally different about him next week.
Might be, but might my be guess.
Rave reviews?
Well, not rave, but hey, he looked pretty good.
Right.
He looked solid. First two series. He looked pretty good.
And I think that's what you're going to get. Times.
I think that's what you're going to get for the most part of the season. You're going to get, oh, man, that guy was money. You know, he was 25 for 34 for three touchdowns, and they win the game. But you're also going to get 15 for 27 mm-hmm. with a pick and a fumble, and you're going to say, that's what we expected. So how many times? It's all about consistency with Carson. He's got to be consistent enough to lead this team to 9 or 10 wins at a shot at the playoffs. If he's not, if he's going to be like 2 years ago or kind of maybe a little bit better than that, you're probably not making the playoffs. And you might not make the playoffs even if he has numbers similar to last year. If he has 25-8, that might not be good enough.
I was thinking to myself, is it too much to ask him to complete 65% of his passes? And if you look at his career, it might be too much to ask because he's a 62% completion percentage guy.
I think
guy.
That's probably where you top out. If he's at 65, it's probably where you top out.
To give you Heineke's stats last season, it was 20 touchdowns. We were right there, but 15 interceptions.
Okay. Look, if Carson
you'd expect Wentz to have a better touchdown interception ratio than that.
Correct. I think he probably will.
If he doesn't, the Commanders just wasted $28 million
mm-hmm.
and draft picks.
Won't be the it's definitely not the first time, and it won't be the last.
Probably not.
All right, one more call. Let's go to is it Steve?
Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Am I on right now?
Yes, you are.
You're good to go.
Oh, okay. Listen, I want to take a little different take on this. I keep hearing that he's good with the long ball, very much better, and problem with the short ball. Well, let me give you a basketball analogy. Would you rather have a guy who could make three-pointers or a guy who could make layups if you have your choice and you can't have both? I mean, looking at the upside.
The problem with that thinking is, and I would rather have the three-ball guy, just to answer your question, is that how many deep balls do you actually throw in a game? Are they going to come out and throw 30 deep balls?
Two or three.
If he's silly, I think you throw them a lot. You throw them more than you would if a guy is better at the short and intermediate and not so good with the long
ball. Yeah, but generally it's two or three. You need a good offensive line to protect you. If you're dropping back for all long balls, you're going to take more sacks.
Of course you are.
Probably fumble more.
You probably have two or three of those shots per game.
Correct.
Most of your throws, like you said, are going to be under 20 yards.
We've all been told 1,000 times, Carson doesn't take layups. If you're not taking layups, that means bombs away
and
for
look,
Carson
if you,
Wentz.
If you look at his career, and I saw it earlier. I should have that pulled up. He doesn't throw for a ton of yards. He just never has thrown for a ton of yards. They've run the ball where he was. Obviously, last year, they ran the ball a ton with Jonathan Taylor. And he likes to throw the dump offs. He likes to throw to tight ends. He loves tight ends. He's not going to
take those guys.
It's not like he's going to throw for 4,500 yards. That's not going to happen.
Valdez, if Logan Thomas gets healthy, he's in for a banner year, like a big one. Mm-hmm. Like I hope he has a lot of incentive clauses in his deal because if he does and he's healthy, he's going to hit those numbers.
I'll have him email his contract to us, Cakes, and we can look it over.
Oh, can you do that? I would take his contract into the bathroom, and then I would put like a sign on the bathroom saying
a "Do not disturb" sign.
This bathroom is closed, and then I would take the contract into the stall, and this bad things might happen. bad things. JP's looking at me like a
I mean, you're a weirdo.
I'm kind of weird.
But you know how much he makes?
I know, but I want to see like how much he gets if he catches like 70 balls, how much more he gets if he catches 75. If he hits like 7 touchdowns, does that trigger an incentive clause? Oh, some things I need to know. Valdez, I'm expecting that now.
Got to take a break.
I would expect Wentz to be only 10 guys threw for over 4,000 yards last year. I would expect him to be in that 33 to 3,500
yards. Sounds about right.
And that's going to be middle of the pack in the league. That's what he'll be in 17, 18, maybe a little bit higher.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. You can call us on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines here on The Junkies.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Paul Henry's Windows. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. We'll move off the Commanders and talk more things NFL. It is week one of the NFL preseason. Time now for QB quarter of.
I don't know if this should be the lead story, but it will be because I want to placate one Matt Cahill, a.k.a. Draft T-shirt.
Oh, you got the Drew Lock nuggets.
Yes, I do. Here's the headline from the News Tribune, I believe from Tacoma, probably one of, I don't know, five dailies that Papa Cahill gets back in Spokane or the outlying suburbs. Drew Lock bests Geno Smith in mock game on day. Seahawks quarterback battle seems to have turned.
Ooh.
Drab, I turn to you, intrepid Drab Hawks reporter. Is Drew Lock now ahead of Geno Smith definitively for the starting quarterback spot in Seattle?
No, definitely not definitively. Yesterday Geno was still taking the reps with number one to practice. But it was exciting to see my boy Drew Lock, who was running with the number two offense, taking apart the number one defense on the Seahawks. At one point, he was 10 for 10. It's the same thing as the Commanders did. They had like a mock practice in front of the fans at the stadium. Two touchdown drives, 10 for 10 at one point, throwing some bombs. He looked good. Everybody was raving about him. Geno, slow. That's the thing about Geno. He takes too long to like process everything.
I'd read about the battle, and it said that they, before this, they had Geno ahead, but I can't remember if it was Pete Carroll or somebody else. We're just raving about both of the guys having great arms.
Oh, Geno's got a strong arm for sure. But yeah. And I said like a week ago on the show, I've decided I'm on Geno's team.
Okay, Team Geno, yeah.
I can be swayed.
Oh, you could so easily be swayed.
I can be swayed. I do like, though, that after the practice, Geno said, no matter what happens, I have Drew Lock's back. Mm. He's my guy.
Now this.
Well,
not...
you're going to see both of them this year.
I would think.
Probably.
You're going
to
see
probably
both.
They're probably both mediocre to
correct.
Very bad.
Well, you know that. So you're going to see both.
I heard that Kenneth Walker was flashing some receiving chops out of the backfield, the rookie running back. I know this is QB quarter of, but sneaking a little bit of running back intel. Who's going
to
win that job?
You've been listening to fantasy podcasts, haven't you?
Of course. Of course I do. Is Rashad Penny ahead here? Is Kenneth Walker like, is
oh,
it 70-30 split here?
Oh, yeah,
but what
yeah,
are we
Rashad
looking
Penny.
At?
No, Kenneth Walker will be just an appetizer.
Hmm. So Rashad Penny's the 20 carry game guy. Is what you're telling me.
If he stays healthy.
All
but,
right.
But
I'm going to take that as
gospel. But running backs rarely do. So.
And Rashad Penny is.
And Rashad Penny always gets hurt.
Has an injury history.
So you're going to see
correct.
Kenny Walker.
You're probably right. The Carolina Panthers won't make what Coach Matt Rhule called a, quote, major decision on any position, particularly between quarterbacks Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, until after the August 19th preseason game at New England. Even then, Rhule might not make a decision if one hasn't clearly separated from the other after two joint practices in Foxborough and the game. Here is quotes. I'm not putting a timetable on the quarterback spot until after we get back from the Patriots week. The Patriots week is a true litmus test for us. That will show us where our guys are.
Mm. I just think you give the job to Baker Mayfield just based on the history. Especially if it's close.
Well, I don't think
like the history
well, if it's
is,
close, okay.
He has much better numbers in the NFL.
But I would expect Mayfield to come in there and just win the job anyway. I'm not going to give it to him based on the last 4 years. I'd say, look, go out and win the job. It can't be that difficult to beat out Sam Darnold.
It can't be that tough to wrestle the job away from Sam Darnold. So,
but they're both young guys. One was the first pick, Baker Mayfield. Yep. The other, the third pick.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know.
Talent-wise, there's probably not much separation.
Yeah.
I think Sam Darnold is...
Darnold's a much bigger guy.
He is another in a long line of guys who are just way overdrafted. He wasn't as good as his lofty draft position. He won't be the first, certainly won't be the last.
I do expect Mayfield to win the job, but again, it's early. You know, we've been saying it about Wentz a couple weeks in. It's early in the camp. I would expect after 5 weeks it'll be Mayfield's job.
Yep. Let's move on to the Rams. Their quarterback, Matt Stafford, and his elbow issue. It's been described as, quote, bad tendonitis, but the defending Super Bowl champion is downplaying the pain. He says it's just a little soreness, which would be good news for the quarterback and the team looking to repeat this year. The 34-year-old cited his training camp performance as proof that the issue is not as bad as some are saying it could be.
I saw that there was a little speculation that they actually could be a sleeper team for Jimmy G. Like if deep down they're worried about Matthew Stafford and whether he's going to be able to be there for 17 games...
Well, the Rams
have I would be surprised.
And they spend money.
I would be surprised.
Well, they not only spend money, they also disrespect draft picks. They're all about acquiring players, acquiring veterans, and they don't really build through the NFL draft. At least they haven't primarily over the last probably 3 or 4 years at this point.
It's still not very surprising, kind of surprising that San Francisco still hasn't traded him, and that clearly is because of the shoulder. But I would be very surprised if they traded him within the division.
Right. They're gonna help make the Rams stronger.
I don't think that happens.
Hey, are you getting sized that Lance is going to take off this year?
I know Cakes is. Cakes, you would think Cakes is the biggest 49er fan on the East Coast. How he's been talking about Trey Lance.
Wrong. I'm a fan of quarterbacks that use their legs.
I know. And Trey Lance will do that.
Correct.
I have to.
So how do you rank him?
He's got to go out and prove it to me. That's what he's got to do.
How
because
do
when I
Cakes?
Saw him last year,
yeah.
I mean, it was limited role, but he wasn't very good.
Okay. I've been very pro Trey Lance since day one.
But he's not number one. Lamar's going to be one.
If Trey Lance plays in let's just say 14 or more games, I give the Cakes guaranteed stamp that he will be a top 10 overall fantasy quarterback. Top 10.
All right, but who are your give me your rankings of your dual threat guys that you said you're a fan of guys who use their legs too.
I'll give you those rankings. These are off the top of my head. These
right.
Just Josh Allen 1.
He's over Lamar.
Personally, I put him over Lamar.
Okay.
Lamar 2. Kyler 3. Am I missing somebody?
Hurts.
Jalen will be 4.
Probably Jalen. He definitely comes in there. And
then Trey.
Might have to be Trey Lance. And I'm speaking fantasy football only. I'm not talking about in real life. But we're talking fantasy here. Trey Lance will be a top 10 fantasy quarterback. And that might be too low. He might be a top 5
well,
or 7
he better
fantasy
be,
quarterback.
Because Jimmy G's not going to be there. And they're all in on Trey Lance. So he better give you the 30 combined touchdowns like you're predicting.
Correct. To close out QB quarter of, Jason, if you're into NFL nostalgia and memorabilia, you can bid on Joe Namath's mink coat with the initials JWN embroidered on the interior. It's being offered by Heritage Auctions.
Feel like we underplay the Joe Namath sound bites, Cakes.
Yeah, we do. I think I only have like one or two, and it's going
to
be.
You still have to have struggling.
I think that's the only one I've got. This is it.
Struggling.
He really wanted to make out with Susie Colbert.
Well, he probably had 20 gin and tonics before.
What did he say to her?
He's like, I just want to kiss you.
Yeah, I just want to kiss
you. He's being very inappropriate with Susie Colbert on the sideline.
Funny.
I think it might make you want to reassess how much booze you're drinking.
Coming up next, we'll switch gears, give you the latest on the latest celebrity gossip and more on Cakes' entertainment page here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.